The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. As a cancer survivor, let me offer you a little piece of advice. Don't get cancer. If you decide to be a rebel and get cancer anyway, you might be wondering what you can expect on your cancer journey. Well, in this series, I will be breaking down what is fact and what is fiction when it comes to the typical cancer experience. This is Cancer Culture. Episode 8 of Cancer Culture. We've only got two more to go. Woo! All right, baby. So most episodes, I like to keep them just about cancer in general. But sorry, fellas. This episode, we're going to be talking about breast cancer specifically. And I know men can also get breast cancer. But it's just most common in women. I had to take a little sippy of my water. I've got my morning voice, so I'm very sorry that you have to listen to that. I started watching this Comedy Central show that it aired a while ago called Nathan for You. The whole sort of concept of it is it's this guy and he gives people really bad business advice and they take it and just sort of what happens as a result. Honestly, I don't know all the details because I'm saving the rest of this to watch after my final breast surgery, just so I can have something to watch that's entertaining during my recovery process. So I don't know all the details, but I guess long story short, Nathan is going to learn how to tightrope walk, and he is going to put on prosthetics to look like this other guy, because the whole mission was to make just this average guy a hero.
Calderwood is a 26-year-old from Ventura, and he wants to do something to help raise awareness for breast cancer, and he's here today. So let's get Corey in here. Where is he?
So, as this other guy, Nathan goes into a radio show to do an interview. And this is all real, by the way. This is all real life. Like, these people who he's doing the radio interview, they aren't actors. He's the only one who's acting.
I know there's breast cancer walks that people have been a part of to raise awareness of breast cancer. And you are going to do a walk, but not the typical walk where we just see how far we can go. You're going to try to walk between buildings.
Yeah. And they're like asking him, you know, why did you decide to do this? What are you doing this for? And Nathan, as this other guy, says that he is doing this tightrope walk for breast cancer awareness.
My goal is to raise awareness for breast cancer awareness.
Sure. And this is kind of like a little joke that he put in there that neither of the radio DJs really picked up on. And, you know, I started thinking if I were in that room or if I were one of the radio DJs, how I would feel about that. Because, you know, I want to obviously be like, cool, that's really awesome. As a survivor, I appreciate you raising awareness for breast cancer. But he's specifically raising awareness for breast cancer awareness. And he wasn't raising any money through doing this for breast cancer. So he was really just saying this for aesthetic appearances, to appear like he's doing something good without actually doing anything constructive. Because I hate to say that money is really the only way that you can help with breast cancer, but unfortunately it is. It's the only way that many people know of in this day and age to help the further research of it. Even in the interview that John Green did with HarperCollins at the end of the Faults in Our Stars audiobook, he said really money is the only way that you can help to end cancer, because, you know, that's going to be funding research and whatnot. So to have somebody here who's very clearly putting on this facade of helping with breast cancer, but really not doing anything, it I don't know, it put a strange taste in my mouth, because just from what I've seen of, you know, like Nathan Fielder IRL or in the wild, he seems like a genuinely nice guy, and he's Canadian, so how mean could he really be? This whole sort of raising awareness for breast cancer awareness, quote unquote, is more of a jab at the whole idea of pinkwashing. Hello, I'm back. So before we cut to break, I introduced the idea of pinkwashing. So according to Wikipedia, pinkwashing is a portmanteau word which combines pink with whitewashing. The term often is used to describe various forms of cause marketing. Pinkwashing may refer to breast cancer, the promotion of consumer goods and services using a pink ribbon that represents the support of breast cancer-related charities. It also refers to the promotion of gay friendliness of a corporate or political entity, but I've heard that described as rainbow washing.
Don't we talk about like rainbow washing at Pride?
You're
rainbow
talking washing?
About some.
Oh, I get it.
When yeah. they say like, yeah. you know, hi, gay.
So in researching for this episode, I found the Vox article, Breast Cancer Awareness Products Profit Off of Survivor Suffering by Shavi Leiber. The article explains, these breast cancer themed items appeal to people's sense of activism. The article posits that only a fraction of sales is actually contributed to any sort of breast cancer research. Here's a quote directly from the article. Activists have pointed out the money trail of allocated funds to cancer research is nearly impossible to track, and survivors have spoken out about how they feel their disease is being exploited in the name of profit. Medical experts also state these products are only bringing awareness without actually tangibly helping to benefit breast cancer research. In the article, Leiber interviews Gail Sulik, who has spent years researching the pink product industry and how companies have turned breast cancer awareness into big business, and compiled her findings into the book Pink Ribbon Blues. What a good name. Sulik describes her initial interest in breast cancer. Her friend was diagnosed with breast cancer at 35. Her cancer was initially treated, yet came back a few years later as metastatic breast cancer. She ultimately died at age 40. Here's a direct quote from Sulik from her discussion with Leiber. This is the moment where she realized that there was a more nefarious purpose for these companies branding their products with pink ribbons. During her last few years, we talked a lot about what she was going through. She had no interest in support groups or pink ribbons or cancer walks. She wanted to live. She didn't see the point beyond the possibility of raising money for research. So I started to look into the money for research. The more I looked, the more I learned that something else was going on, and it had nothing to do with research. Breast cancer got branded, and companies were using pink ribbons as a logo, not the rallying cry that it was intended to be. Sulik went on to describe how the pink ribbon came to be the symbol of breast cancer. Here's another quote directly from Sulik. Charlotte Haley, a 68-year-old activist whose mother and sister battled breast cancer. She was giving out peach-colored ribbons in the early 90s to raise awareness about the lack of federal funding for breast cancer prevention. She tied pink ribbons by hand with a note card saying, "The National Cancer Institute annual budget is $1.8 billion. Only 5% goes for breast cancer prevention. Help us wake up our legislatures and America by wearing this ribbon." Haley wrote editorials, contacted public women, and gave out peach ribbons at local venues in her community to spread the message. Haley was contacted by Estee Lauder, asking to use the peach ribbon for a Self magazine campaign. Haley initially declined as she did not want the message to be, quote, watered down or commercialized, unquote. Since Haley refused to give Lauder the copyright to the peach ribbon, Lauder came up with a different approach. Quote, the simple solution? Change the color. Evelyn Lauder and Self Magazine introduced the pink ribbon as their official symbol for breast cancer awareness during National Breast Cancer Awareness Month in 1992. By 1993, breast cancer became the darling of corporations, and the pink ribbon was its logo. Interestingly, Marissa Acocella Marchetto also brings up Evelyn H. Lauder. Marchetto refers to her as, quote, the patron saint of breast cancer, unquote. But some of the details seem to confuse Lauder's work with Haley's work. She gave Lauder the credit for handing out the ribbons, and according to Marchetto, Evelyn H. Lauder was the person who declared October Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But according to Sulik, breast cancer survivor Betty Ford officially made October Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Generally speaking, the pink breast cancer ribbon is not trademarked. This means any company can use it on any product without discretion. A quote from Sulik, the industry is completely unregulated, so anyone can make products that are pink and say they are donating money to breast cancer, and no one is held accountable. According to Sulik, most of the money that goes to breast cancer research comes from federal and government funding. Leibel asked Sulik, what's wrong with raising money for awareness or a disease? Sulik responded, the commercialization of breast cancer has contributed to a lighthearted approach to awareness and advocacy. This trivializes breast cancer and limits our ability to comprehend what it's really like to face the disease, live with medical uncertainty, and accept the difficult realities of risk, recurrence, treatment, and even death. Sulik ultimately ties the word awareness to brand recognition. When asked how most survivors feel about the breast cancer awareness industry, Sulik explained that a lot of survivors feel as though companies are profiting off of their disease. Quote from Sulik, these companies don't really care about the people's suffering. They care about advertising effects. Sulik goes on to explain that the industry objectifies women, only showing one type of cancer patient. The difficult realities of cancer are much less palatable for public consumption. That's why the look of a woman in the breast cancer awareness industry is sexualized. Sulik concludes the interview by advising shoppers to look deeper into future cancer campaigns and look at where the money is actually going. She warns consumers, if a product says, quote, support breast cancer awareness, end quote, but is really vague, that's probably a red flag or a pink flag, and you should probably walk away. So, at the end of the day, how do I feel about pink washing? There's a part of me, I don't know, there's a part of me that does kind of get a kick out of seeing a lot of breast cancer awareness things. I currently have a pink ribbon keychain that I got from the dollar store, and I know supports no breast cancer awareness cause, but it's more just, I just kind of got it out of pride to be like, yeah, I did have that, and I did go through that, and look at me, I'm doing really good. However, I completely understand the idea that your disease is being trivialized. You know, that's how I felt with that interview that Nathan Fielder did with Frank and Heidi. And, you know, I want to reiterate, I don't think Nathan Fielder was trying to be mean or trying to, or really actively trying to trivialize breast cancer. And I think it was just more of a statement on things like this, where people will often just use it as a cause that people can rally behind. So that does it for episode eight of Cancer Culture. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I will hear you, or you will hear me, in the next episode. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Cancer Culture. The intro music is Happy Hour by Ditto Master. You can find the full version of this song and more of his work on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. This podcast has been created by the students of the Communication and Media Studies Department of the Dominican University of California and is intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. You can find this podcast and other students' work on radio.dominican.edu. Goodbye. Ops. I can't do it.